I've been looking forward for this day for quite a while. Not just that I get a chance to not preach on a Sunday. Thought I'd hear some amens on that one. When Rodney had said that he would be willing to come and to preach his first sermon, I was excited to have the opportunity to work with him on it. And he has worked on this, very much so, for many months now. But it's not just about the message today. What I have seen in Rodney's life is nothing short of a miracle. When I see Rodney where he is today, from where he was when I first met him, God has done an amazing work in his life. When I first met Rodney, he didn't want to say boo to anybody. He would kind of slink in and sit in the pew, hope nobody would talk to him, and then slink back out. But over time, the Lord has just transformed him. Till now, he and I are the first ones here on Sunday morning. He's usually here before me, to be honest. And he loves to greet the people as they come. And here lately, he's been going around to the shut-ins of our church family and spending time with them, visiting, and doing all the things that good Christian should do. And so it is with tremendous joy that I introduce Rodney Theobald as he brings the message for us this morning.
Thank you, Scott. Good morning. I'm glad to see all of you here this morning. Would you please bow with me in prayer? Thank you, Father, for giving me this opportunity today to bring this message. Please guide and direct my words today. I pray that everything I say will be pleasing to you and bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Before I start this morning, there's some folks here I would like to introduce this morning, family members and brothers and sisters. My Aunt Bobby is here this morning from Lincoln. I remember when I first approached Aunt Bobby about I was going to speak this morning. I said, Aunt Bobby, you got to come. She says, I'll try. I says, no, Aunt Bobby, you got to come. So we came over one day, and she saw where the church was at, and here she is. And thank you for coming. My niece Mickey is here with her husband Jed, and my great-niece Lily and great-nephew Wyatt. They came all the way from Mason City. That's about, I don't know, 20 miles or so west of Lincoln. And glad to see you guys here this morning. Bob and Jane from Texas Christian Church is here. Tina is here from Texas. And Billy, a lady that I worked with, oh, for what, 30 years? I don't know. Years and years at Kroger's. She ran the floral department. And I told her about it, one of our Kroger get-togethers and stuff. She says, you tell me how to get there and I'll be there. So, but I thank all of you for coming this morning. I want to take this moment and thank Scott for the opportunity and for his guidance. Like Scott said, I remember when he first approached me about doing this. I believe it was down at the men's breakfast. I said, oh, I don't know, Scott. I says, I'm so backwards, I don't know if I could stand up there and do this or not. And he says, well, think about it and pray about it. So I did. And then he suggested, you know, me trying to do the scripture readings and communion meditations, he said, that'll kind of break the ice. So I said, okay. So first time I was a little nervous, but now I love doing them. I could do them every week, but I realize there's other people that needs to do them. But I just thanks God for helping me with this morning. And my message this morning is a little different kind of message. And it may be a little unusual, but it's what I feel the Lord placed on my heart. This is a testimonial of how Christ broke the chains of addiction in my life. When I was still in high school, I had my first taste of alcohol. I liked it and I wanted more. It seemed like my attraction to it started to grow. When I started to work at Kroger, most of my friends liked to drink. I started spending time after work at their houses, or we would go out to bars, and we always had plenty to drink. Before I knew it, I was in addiction. Not that anyone else knew it. During those years, back in the late 70s through the 90s, I was having fun with my friends from work. When I wasn't at work, I was out drinking with them. We looked like we were having a great time, but down deep inside, I was depressed. I was afraid that if my parents and my grandma found out, they would hate me and not want to be around me. So I hid it from them the best I could. My brother Kevin and his family were the only ones that knew what I was doing. They tried to get me to stop, but I wouldn't listen. I was afraid they would not want to be around me either. I still had my faith in the Lord, and I knew that He promised never to leave us or forsake us. I knew He was still with me. I also knew that I was disappointing the Lord with what I was doing, but I couldn't stop. Jesus said in John 8:34, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." I was a slave to alcohol addiction. I can't even begin to guess how many times I drove home when I couldn't even walk straight. I was like one of those described in Psalm 107, 10 and 11. Some sat in darkness and the deepest gloom. Prisoners suffering in iron chains. For they had rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. There were two instances when I passed out driving my car. The second was the most serious. I left Decatur one night heading for Lincoln. I had been at a friend's house in Decatur. We started drinking around 8 in the morning, and I think I left there around midnight. I didn't even know my own name. I was so out of it. When I got to Mount Pulaski, I passed out at the wheel. My car flipped several times and landed on the roof. Once I was removed from the car, I was taken to the emergency room in Lincoln. The policeman who responded to the accident said that if I hadn't been hurt, he would be taking me to jail. The next day, my brother Kevin wanted me to go to the wrecking yard to look at my car. I didn't want to go at first, but I gave in. As we stood there looking at my car, or what was left of it, Kevin looked at me with tears in his eyes, and he said, "Rod, you could have died." I said, "I know, brother, I could have died, but I guess the Lord isn't done with me here on earth. I guess he still has things for me to do. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, looking at my brother with tears in his eyes, I could tell that he was really hurt. When we looked at my car, I just can't imagine what he was feeling, but he tried to get me to stop drinking, but I just wouldn't listen. Then in 1990, I got my first DUI. I had to pay fines, attend DUI classes, AA meetings, perform community service, and undergo 18 months of court supervision. Every 6 months, I had to return to court to make sure that I wasn't drinking or hadn't received any tickets. The hearing officer, I had to go to Springfield, and my attorney and some friends told me, you know, don't get upset or mad because they're going to try everything in their power to deny your license. So I sat with this fella, and he was real nice, asked questions. I answered them the best I could. And he said that at the end, he said, I'm going to allow you to have your license back. The worst part, though, was that my parents and my grandma now knew about my problem. I tried to hide it from them because I did not want to hurt them. But there was no hiding it anymore. I had all of my classes and community service completed in the first 6 months. That looked favorable to the judge. After I got my license back, you would think I would have learned my lesson, but I continued to drink heavily nearly every day. On December 23rd, 2005, yes, 2 days before Christmas, I got my second DUI. I had to tell my grandmother, who was living with me at the time, and that was one of the hardest things I ever had to do. I thought my grandma was really going to let me have it, but she never got mad or raised her voice. She just wanted to know how I could get myself into this mess. I said, I'm sorry, Grandma, but I was still drinking. She said, Rodney, she said, I thought you were all over that stuff. We were supposed to go to my aunt and uncle's house in Southern Illinois for Christmas. It was very difficult for me to get into the Christmas spirit because all I could think of was the DUI and how it would affect our lives. I didn't know how Grandma was going to get to her doctor's appointments or to the grocery store. I felt like I had ruined her life. She told me, Rodney, we will get through it with God's help. A few weeks later, Pastor Ron Rector called on us and brought Larry Larson to meet us in our apartment here in Moroa. We visited a while, and Ron had to leave, but Larry stayed. Grandma told Larry, Rodney has gotten himself into a predicament. She told him what happened and that she would need rides to the store and doctor's appointments. And because of Larry's huge heart and his love for the Lord, Larry told us that was no problem. He would help us out. He took us wherever we needed to go. We knew the Lord had answered prayer by putting Larry in our lives. He even took me to Clinton to take my driving test when I was able to get my license back. Grandma and I thank the Lord every day for putting Larry and Tish in our lives. The laws had become more strict on the offense, and my attorney told me he didn't know if he could keep me from going to jail for an extended time. In the end, I had more fines, more community service. This time, I had 18 months of probation. I had to go before a hearing officer in Springfield again, This time it wasn't pretty. They knew that it was my second time going through this, so they had quite a few people in the room. And I could tell when it started that things weren't going to go well, because they were starting to get under my skin. They were just firing questions at me, and before I could get one answered, and I was getting mad. So the guy said, "Well, this meeting's adjourned. Your license is denied." I did not want to go back for a second time. But my friend Larry had a long talk with me and convinced me to go back and try again. I remember sitting in his truck one night. He told me, he says, "You're going to go again, right?" And I said, "I can't do it, Larry." He looked at me and he says, "Really?" He says, "You're not going to go try again? What about your grandmother?" So he talked to me for quite a while. And I said, "You're right, Larry." So I went back and tried again. It went a lot better this time. This time I passed. Now I came to the crossroad of decision. I had hit rock bottom. Like the prodigal son in Luke 15:17, I came to my senses. I decided I needed God's help, because I didn't want to continue drinking, and I knew I couldn't do it on my own. It took me a long time to realize my need to strengthen my relationship with the Lord. I came to the conclusion that I could not do this anymore, and He was the only one who could help me. So I sat one evening and prayed in my apartment. "Please, Lord, help me to break these chains of addiction." And I tell you what, brothers and sisters, when I got done praying, I felt like 1,000 pounds was lifted off my shoulders, because I didn't want to go through any more of my hands shaking so bad I couldn't sign a paper, or waking up the next morning and not knowing where I'd been, who I'd been with, what I'd done. I couldn't do it anymore. As we read earlier in Psalm 107:13, "Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them from their distress." I could not break the chains myself, but I had to make a decision to turn to the Lord. That decision put me on the path to victory. Like Psalm 107:14 says, "He brought them out of darkness and the deepest gloom and broke away their chains." Jesus broke the chains of my addiction, but He used resources and people to help along the way. I was required to attend AA meetings and take DUI classes. These were helpful, as it kept me accountable to others and showed me the consequences of my choices to drink and drive. The Lord used family and friends to help me. My brother Kevin and Debbie and Mickey, they were all with me. Larry and Pastor Ron Rector helped me, even drove me to appointments and meetings when I could not drive myself. They all encouraged me to stay sober. And I remember I had a talk with Larry one day, and he says, "You need an accountability partner." And I says, "You're right, I do. Would you like to take it?" He says, "I'll take it, but," he said, "I can tell you this." He says, "I won't put up with no drinking." I said, "I tell you what, Larry, you take this job, and if you ever hear that I've taken one drink," I said, "you got permission to bust me right in the mouth." And he says, "You got it." When I returned to Moroa Christian Church a few years ago, you all accepted me without judgment and welcomed me. I have been able to become more involved with the church over time. I am so blessed to have all of you as my church family. I can say with Paul in Romans 7, 24 and 25, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I stand before you this morning as a changed person. I have been sober for quite a while now, and it feels really good. I am so happy and blessed with what the Lord has done for me. The main focus of this message isn't the things that happened to me. The focus of this message is that the Lord was with me every step of the way. He never gave up on me. Even with all the bad things that I was doing in my life, He still loves me. Like we read in Psalm 107, 15 to 16, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. For he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. Christ broke the chains of my addiction, and he can break yours too. If any of you this morning feel trapped in your own sin, whatever that sin might be, know that you can be free. Jesus said in John 8:36, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Regardless of the sin that has ensnared you, he can break those chains and set you free. If any of you have a friend or family member or coworker who is caught in an addiction, pray with them and point them to Jesus. James 5:19-20 says, my brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Before I close in prayer, I would like to conclude that I am a sinner. We are all sinners. Christ brought me out of this addiction and set me on the right path. But I am still a sinner. I have things I struggle with because I'm human. We all have struggles in our lives, but as Christians, we have our faith in Jesus Christ. We know that he is our Savior and our rock. If something happens in our lives that we can't handle, we can go to him in prayer, asking him for help and guidance. He will be there for us. None of us can do anything on our own. As long as we have Jesus in our lives, we can face anything. And I mean anything. I know that I can stay away from alcohol because I go to him in prayer. And ask him to give me the strength to fight temptation. Temptation is not a sin, but giving into it is a sin. I thank him continually for being in my life and guiding me every day so I can stay sober. I am where I am today, not because of me, but because of what Christ did in my life. He is the one who broke the chains of my addiction. All of the glory and thanks go to Christ. Would you bow with me in prayer? Thank you, dear Jesus, for being the center of my life. Thank you for guiding me this morning. I pray that everything I said today brought honor and glory to you. Thank you for giving me the courage to give this message today. And I thank Scott for giving me this opportunity and helping me construct this message. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, my Savior and Lord. Amen.